Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there.
Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Sulemar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. I'm your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm with my great co-host, as always.
What is up, everybody? Brennan Tassett coming to you live from New York. What up, dude?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm just watching my hopeful, wishful thinking of Sam Darnold rejuvenating his career go out the window. What's up with you?
Just watching your son shit the bed, basically.
Dude, everyone made so many excuses last week, including myself. I was like, Detroit got Anzalone back. Everyone's looking good, but
that was the difference maker.
I don't think they were up to it, man. And it's not even like you can blame everybody.
No, this looks like the failing of, I can't say the failing of one man. It's more of him plus the offensive line just got ran through. But we'll get to that. We'll get to a couple other things. We're going to touch on all the games from Wild Card Weekend, starting with I literally put them in order of the closest to the least closest. Closest to the blowouts, basically. And then we'll preview next week's matchup of the divisional round. Then we're going to touch on the college football playoffs, the NBA, and then we got some quick hits. So without further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Brennan.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some football?
I'm ready. Do you have the time by any chance?
I just put on my false Fitbit, and I do have the time. It's time for
Game of the Week.
Game of the Week.
Game of the Week, baby.
Fitbit. I have a false Fitbit. Yeah, game of the week. The Bucks, closest game of the weekend. The Bucks lose at home to the Washington Commandos. Were the Bucks? I can't remember. Were the Bucks home favorites?
Bucks were favored by 3 points.
Three? Okay, so it was pretty much a push then. Yeah. Brennan.
This was the only good game of the playoffs.
How did you feel like it went down? Were you surprised? Were you shocked? Were you encouraged by some things, or discouraged by other things?
I was discouraged by Mike Evans was destroying Lattimore, and everyone was like, "Oh, this is the matchup," because Lattimore used to play for the Saints, and every time he goes against Mike Evans, their last six meetings, Mike Evans hasn't gotten over 40 yards. Like, this is the thing, and Mike Evans was like putting on a clinic, but they didn't want to. They didn't throw it to him as often as I was hoping, and the center. I always say it, three plays. The center mistimed the snap on two plays. One led to a fumble, and one led to like a fourth and long.
That second one was crazy. Yeah. Like, you can look in Baker's eyes, and he's like, why do I have the ball? Yeah. Like, one on the line moved. Everybody was stunned.
I've been in that position before. I've talked about it on the show. Where I snapped the ball and half the offensive line thought we were going on first down and the other half didn't know we were going at all.
On first sound.
Yeah, and I snapped it on first sound and everyone was like, he said it was on two. but yeah, so I was discouraged. I really wanted Tampa to win this game. I love Washington and what they've been able to do. And obviously I'm a big Scary Terry guy. I take him every year in fantasy, but gun to my head, I wanted Tampa Bay to win this game. And Baker had that run that like, to quote Step Brothers, we're here to fuck shit up, run. And he got the team going. They ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. But like, it just, there was too many mistakes, so many flags. Happy for Jaden Daniels. Did this happen to you? I was waiting for him to throw the interception. I was like, he's a rookie. It's Daniels? The playoffs. Yeah. Even though he doesn't do it very often. But in my head, I was like, statistically speaking, he's going to throw one. And then he just didn't.
Yeah, percentages would say that. I mean, it should come, but no, I didn't think he would. I thought he was more liable to get concussed
yeah.
in this game because he was running. And we talked about it. I think was it the Cowboys game, the final game of the season,
yeah.
where he did that backwards run and got popped, and then Mariota had
that
to
was
be like
week 17. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Mariota played a lot of week 18.
That's right. You're right. So yeah. So that was 2 weeks ago. He took that one hit when he's going out of bounds, and literally one of my buddies
was against
the
Eagles.
Chat,
yeah.
No, we didn't play them in 17.
Oh, okay.
We played them in 16.
Well, then maybe it was 16. I thought it was against the Eagles.
No, I don't think that play was against the Eagles.
Okay. It's not that important, but
he did have a crazy run against the Eagles on fourth down, but it wasn't that backwards beam.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating.
Look up who the hell
it's the Vikings. It was the Vikings, wasn't it?
No, Falcons.
Falcons.
It was the Damn Falcons it. Game because Ellis hit him. Because you said Ellis, and I was like, you're right. It was Ellis that hit him.
Denver got rid of him. Stupid.
But yeah, so... No, he had that one play where he's running to the side towards the sideline, mm-hmm. and he's doing that, you know, getting cutesy. Am I in? Am I out? And then he just gets beamed.
Oh, they told him he was going to be.
Yeah, they knocked.
They made
the
decision
out of
for
him.
Yeah.
And one of my buddies was like, "It's not a flag," and I was like, "No, because it's the playoffs. And if you're gonna do that dilly dally shit, you're gonna get popped in the mouth." All right, he's a rookie. He hasn't earned that respect just yet. But. Man, credit to him. He was literally bleeding, and he just hung tough. Had a couple other runs. He was statistically the best runner on their team, as far as yardage was concerned.
When they gave it back with 4 minutes left, I was like, "This is over."
I was like,
"He's done this six times this year." Yeah.
So yeah, he just out. Like you said, the Bucks made the mistakes when. They had the opportunities to not the fumble on the exchange, and then the early snap that ended up being one from 3rd and 1 to like 4th and 5 or some shit. And the Bucks were doing everything right except for those little mistakes. And then how many turnovers? I mean, how many penalties did they have?
There's a lot.
The penalties,
I think there was like 15
were
total.
Insane in this game, bro. It was insane.
Yeah, well, you're looking that up. I just want to say it seemed
14
like,
total for the game, 7 by the Bucks.
Yeah.
Sorry, it seemed, 12 total for the game. Bad math.
Oh, really? 7 by the Bucks, though?
7 by the Bucks alone.
That's crazy. And that's,
yeah.
It was interesting when they were driving and then they held them, like the clock was ticking down, and then they held them on that 3rd down, and then it was 4th down, and then the Commanders went to kick that field goal to end the game. I remember all the talk that the announcers were doing about, like, they've gone through so many kickers this year and stuff. Mm-hmm. And a part of me, a small part of me, because we've been watching sports a long time.
Then you
time,
saw Zane Gonzalez fix his hair 8 times
yeah,
in a row, put his helmet on and fix his hair.
Kickers especially are superstitious. And I was like, there was a small part of me that was like, wait, I think this is Baker's year. Like, all the talk that they're doing about all the different kickers and all this kind of stuff. And then he's like freaking out with his OCD. And I was like, he's going to miss this kick. And a small part of me was like, because we've seen that before. The Chiefs, Denver's driving, the game is over. And then they miss the kick. Like, we've seen
it before.
The only
thing, though, it would have only sent the game into OT.
Yeah, but in my head, I was like, it'll hit OT, Baker will get the ball, fucking do his Baker thing, and then we're out of here. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's not first score in overtime in the playoffs. Remember that?
Both no, I know, but it's hard to articulate and it's hard to explain, but like there was just something where I was like, no, Baker's
you had supreme
like,
confidence in
it wasn't
the
even a
cosmic
thing.
Universe.
Yeah, I guess. It's just like when Mahomes gets the ball back and you go, oh, this game's over. I love Baker, so I was just like, and it seemed like every time, like they weren't even supposed to win the NFC South, remember? Like Atlanta started going that run. Atlanta won both head-to-heads, and they still found a way. So I was just like, no, they'll pull this out. Like the Commanders had all their luck during the season, and they still got it. And when it doinked, I was like,
double doinked.
I was like, oh my God. Oh no.
No, sorry, not double doinked. It just doinked.
They're just regular doinked, but.
It was so funny. So that play happening, unfolding in my side of my neck of the woods was I was rooting against the Bucks because I don't want to play the Bucks as a Philly fan because the Bucks have had our number the last like 2-3 seasons. Pretty much
they beat
James
you guys this
year
too,
year.
Right? Yeah,
they beat us this year. They took us out of the playoff last year. The first time Jalen made the postseason, they beat us. Like we have not had good luck against the Bucks. So me and my, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of Bucks fans. It's one, me and one other Eagle fan in the chat. And we were like, boom, that's game, baby. Yeah. And then my buddy was like, Zane Gonzalez couldn't miss this field goal. We shouldn't start rooting yet. And I was like, you're so right. He could. Bing. And we were like, oh shit, he tried. He tried to lose that fucking game.
I thought for sure it was over. I'm happy for the Commanders though. I'm interested to see, because they're playing Philly now, right? Or no, they're going to the Lions.
They go to Detroit. Yeah.
I'm interested to see, because watching Jaden Daniels play, and this is a lot of like Lamar and Josh Allen stuff too. And it's different with Jaden because he's so much smaller than Josh. But like, I remember like at one point in the third quarter, I was like, why are they even throwing it? Like, just run it. Like, because he was getting first down so often. And then some of the passes were incomplete. And I was like, just run it. But to your point, like, that's an injury waiting to happen. We saw what happened with RG3 when they tried to do that in the same town, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But it looks like, barring injury, like, this offense looks like it can't be stopped.
Man, damn, it's like 12 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's We're getting crazy. Old, Playboy.
Yeah, we are. I was like, I was doing the math on like
your HD camera.
I was doing the math on, stop talking about my grace. I was doing the math on when he was the cover athlete for NCAA, and I was like, 2013, 12 years ago.
Shit. Yeah, 2012 was his rookie year.
Yeah, but yeah, so they have a chance? I don't think they have a chance against the Lions. I think this is where the road stops for them.
But why do you say that? I'm interested, because that offense looks like it could not be stopped.
Why do I say that? Detroit is a far more disciplined team, not going to have as many turnovers.
True.
And if not for those, I keep saying turnovers, I mean penalties. If not for those penalties, the Bucks have 30 points.
That's true. There were a
lot of back-breaking penalties to kill drives that they were having. And just silly penalties.
Yeah. And it is interesting, real quick, on that point to watch, because when you see it in the moment on like a 4th-and-3 and then Jaden runs for like 12 yards, you're like, this team, that's what I mean. Like, you watch it and you go, while you're watching, you're like, how can anyone stop this? But then you look at the final box score and you go, oh, they got stopped like a bunch.
Yeah. It's like he only had 36 yards.
Yeah.
On 13 carries. Like,
and they were only 3 of 5 on 4th down. It's not like they were like doing, they did punt a few times.
They weren't world beating them.
Yeah.
They were getting, and really, if not for like, even with that botch exchange, because that's really the one that cost them the Bucks in the end. Yeah. Because
they were,
and rolling. I'm talking about the early snap. That's the one that cost, because they were in, they were about to get a touchdown. If they just get that 3rd-and-1, like, they're going to get a touchdown. They ended up getting pushed back. They have to kick the field goal. But if not for the bobbled exchange, because the Commandos went for it on 4th down, didn't get the touchdown, the Bucks are about to at least go Evans on a that respectable
to
drive
get the first down
and get the first, the stretch.
Literally,
like,
the very next play.
The next play is the handoff, and it's a fumble. The Commanders get it again right in the red zone. Like, if not for that, this game looks a lot different.
100%. So, yeah.
And again, it took them to get that touchdown on the 4th down again. Like, they weren't that effective on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down. Like, they were getting a lot of four, especially in the red zone. They were getting to a lot of 4th downs in the red zone. But yeah, no, I think their mentality, I think their effort is to be applauded. But I mean, it's hard to run on the Bucks defense. Trust me, I know. So I'm not shocked by the run totals, the run numbers, but I just think Detroit is going to be in Detroit. Like, Detroit's offense,
the discipline's
is more
a very
potent.
Good point. Yeah,
the discipline
is a huge
to not,
point. Yeah,
yeah, like,
they're not going to make those same mistakes either. Like, the like you said, like, the no. not only the penalties but the turnovers and the
yeah,
stupid
the
plays,
the weird turnovers. Like, yeah, I just feel like Detroit is a way. There's a reason Detroit's the number one team in the NFC. Like,
100%.
The Bucks ebbed and flowed. The Bucks beat Detroit, but the Bucks all season long has ebbed and flowed. Like, we talked about.
Yeah, some games they put up 40 points, and then some games they put up like 12. Like, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
They were struggling against the Saints until they weren't. Like, this team was very up and down at points. If you ask my buddies, it's all because Todd Bowles stinks as a coach. I disagree vehemently, but they are done with him.
I want to ask you before we move on, because, and I know we're spending a lot of time on this game, but the other games were
blowing, it's the best game.
I want to ask you, because the Bucs are in an interesting situation. Baker is not that old. Obviously, Bucky, their starting running back, is a rookie. But they have a lot of old players.
Baker, sneaky old.
Vita Vea is getting up there. Mike Evans, obviously, broken 11 season straight record. So he's obviously got some years under his belt. Okay. Levante David is an older linebacker.
Vita Vea, sneaky young.
Is he?
I love to say, the funny 30? Thing is, funny thing is, they're both the same age.
Oh, really?
But yes, in my mind, I would think Vita Vea is older, but he's 29. And I would think Baker was a little younger, but he's 29.
Oh, wow. That's because he had that extra year because he transferred.
Yeah.
But in your opinion, and Vita Vea, just real quick, he looks like someone who would use like a scoot at like Walt Disney World, like one of those scooters. And then you see him move and you're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Like, that dude's a monster. He did a spin move to almost get a sack on Jaden. And I was like, what are you doing?
They put him in the, what's the name? They put him at fullback and he came out
just
like,
ran out, threw his hand up.
Feels ready. How are you going to get around that body?
As someone who's, as you said, you as a Phillies fan have a history with the Bucs, the recent years of the Bucs. Do you think they run it back, or do you think there needs to be an overhaul? Because a lot of those guys are, like I said, getting up there. Like, Godwin's gone. His career is probably over. Mike Evans is going to be 32, I think, next year, 33.
Yeah, 32.
And then Vita, like we said, 29. Baker, 29. Levante David's 35. So it's one of those things where, do you think they need an influx of younger talent, 34. Or do you think they bring it back? You want to hear the crazy thing? I'm just guessing based on, like, I've been watching these guys.
Oh, I know you are. That's what I'm saying. You're pretty good. I think they got, I mean, there's
you
really got to
bring it
nothing,
back, right?
I would say there's nothing else to do but run it back, really. Jamel Dean, 28. You run it back, you draft well, as they have been, as far as the offensive line and the defense is concerned. Probably a couple more guys on that back end of the defense. McCollum was getting cooked.
I was so mad when Winfield went out. Like, Winfield, he cannot stay healthy, but he's so good.
Yeah, and Jamel Dean can't stay healthy.
Yeah, like, and he's so good.
Yeah, no, I still think they're in their window, their Baker window, that being said. I mean,
100%. And they're in the easiest division, or the second
and they're
easiest,
in the easiest division.
Yeah,
so it's pretty much, I think they're in a good position to be like a good team. I don't know if they're going to be a Super Bowl caliber team. I don't know if Baker is that good. Like, I like Baker. I think Baker's a gamer. And I described gamer in my chat because one of my buddies was like, I hate that term. And I was like, when I say gamer, it just means like a guy that gets it out of the mud. Like, because he was like, I like baller. And I was like, Baker's not a baller. Baller is for NBA players and like receivers. A gamer is a guy who gets it out of mud. He's going to run through you, run over you. He's going to snatch your heart in order to get this win. And that's what Baker is.
A dog.
He's a dog. Is it just another way to say a dog? But yeah, I don't know if his ceiling is Super Bowl caliber quarterback, though. I just haven't seen enough consistently him at a high level, or this team playing at that higher level. So, but I also don't think they should, you know, cash in their chips and try to go get a new coach and go get a new quarterback. I think you can be a Vikings and have a miracle run if you're disciplined enough to just keep it together, and then maybe next year the injury luck breaks your way, because that's a lot of what it is as well, like having injury luck. So, and then another
the team
year
that
with
was the Super Bowl, McMillan, the healthiest team.
Like,
so. Yeah, McMillan surprised me, because I know him from like a lot of box scores and fantasy and stats and stuff, but I wasn't a huge watcher of Tampa this year. But McMillan made like a lot of plays, and then watching him in this game, like, you could tell he was a rookie. Like, he was getting schooled on some of these plays where he was just like out of position and stuff. So, but again, it goes back to what we're talking about, like these little things of like, you're not disappointed.
Fine details.
Baker's the kind of guy where like, he's like a ride or die. Like as a friend, he would be like your best friend. You call, he, like, whose car are we going to take kind of guy? Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't invite him to your wedding because your parents are going to be there. And you're like, I don't want you to meet him. Like that's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's that kind of guy.
But yeah, no, great game. Thank you for giving us one of those.
Yeah.
We'll go to the next one. I'm going to hit the sound for every game change.
Got it.
My Philadelphia Eagles versus the Green Bay Packers. I don't even know if I want to stay on this game that long, but I will go to you first. What was your takeaways? What did you learn? What did you feel? What do you got?
It was interesting.
Have you ordered Inner Excellence yet?
It was apparently he brings a book to every game, and they
apparently just, he brings a book to every game. Yeah. And that's it's the Colin Kaepernick. It's very funny. Like, oh, apparently he does this all the time, but we just finally caught him. Yeah. It's like when Cap sat through like two play preseason games, and then on the third one, it's like somebody in the stands finally took a picture of it. And it's like, yeah. Huh,
you know, this is my thing, this is kind of what I do, but I don't know. When Green Bay fumbled the kickoff and then they scored, Philly scored two plays later, I was like, this is going to be a long day for Green Bay. I will say two things.
Day.
I was shocked that the score was what it was going into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So that shocked me because I thought Philly was going to run away with this.
I will say, let me say this before I get into the assessment of the game itself. This was one of the worst broadcast ever. Burkhart and Tom Brady obviously have no chemistry. Yeah. Tom Brady stinks. Burkhart said this line
I'll tell you
two
what,
times.
KB.
Burkhart said this line twice. And Burkhart, I know to be very good. Like when him and Greg Olsen were in there last year, that was like, oh, this is a number one team. They haven't missed a step with Joe and Troy leaving. But Burkhart said twice. And it could just be like because the game was so odd. He was like, it feels like the Eagles are up 77. They're up 77 points, but it's still close, Tom. He said that twice. And I was like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah, it seemed like watching it, the Eagles were dominating. But the score did. Again, this is a common theme of what we're talking about. The score didn't reflect that. I'm going to say this so it's on the record. I kind of fell into this trap in the preseason. I don't think Jordan Love, to quote my friend Joe Dorville, he's not the guy. I don't think he's the guy.
Not the guy.
He's not the guy. I fell into that trap of all this hype during the preseason, and he had like a good run into the end of last year.
Not
and everyone
guy.
Was like, and I don't know if it's because of the injuries. Like he got injured in the first week. But he's just not the guy. And they lost all their receivers. It was shocking they kept it this close when they lost everybody. But
this close is a relative term, honestly.
To your point, I don't – just real quick, and then I'll let you go on your tangent for the Philadelphia Eagles. At no point did I think the Eagles were in any sort of – I was shocked by the score because at no point did I think they were in trouble.
So my thing is like – I think it's been a long time since we've seen good defense, like a good, potentially transcendent defense. And it was close. Yes, the offense obviously had some like some cobwebs in there. But that defense is just, it was like a boa constrictor just suffocating the life, drive after drive, just allowing them to do nothing. Until finally at the end, they were able to break off a big run. Josh Jacobs, shout out to him, men amongst boys on that run, running through people.
We said
over
it in the offseason last year, like, when they got rid of him in Oakland. I was like, someone's got to get this dude. Why is he still a free agent?
So great run by him. That was probably the highlight of the entire game for them. But outside of that, the receivers were kept in check. We dominated the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you don't root for injuries or anything like that, obviously. I mean, if you are a sane human being, you don't root for injuries. But there's an appreciation you have to have for physical play in a physical game.
Yeah, 100%. It's the playoffs. This is what we do.
It's playoffs. The playoffs. Nolan Smith
to quote my good friend Brendan Tassif, was a man possessed out there. He was flying around and just,
I like the tweeners they have too for Philly between Nakobe Dean, Nolan Smith, all these guys who can like, and then who's the guy who's the like defensive player of the year you guys have? Braun?
Zach Bond, yeah.
Yeah, so you have like three guys that can either put their hand in the dirt and like be an edge rusher or drop back into coverage. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But I was about to say, I think it was on the first Green Bay's first drive where Nolan Smith is just going in like a missile, just running with all the speed, and he knocks out their left guard. And then from then, it was just like, ooh, this is going to be tough because now the inside is a turnstile. And it just made Jordan Love's day hell. And it didn't allow for their run protections to be as clean as they once were. And then Reed Blankenship, my buddy was like, my buddy who's a Bucks fan and obviously roots against me and my team and my fandom, was like, Reed Blankenship should be out for targeting. I'm like, he hit the guy in the arm.
Yeah.
Like, what? Are we not playing football? Like, what are
it
we doing?
It's like a violent play, but then when you watch the replay, you're like, yeah, oh, yeah.
No. It was a violent play. This is a violent sport.
Yeah.
Like, violent, we have to remember that.
It looked like an illegal. It looked like a dirty hit, but it wasn't.
It was not. He hit him in the arm. Yeah. Like, we have,
he
like...
He rocked back, though. I was like, oh, my God.
Again, not rooting for injury, but this game is predicated... This is why I have an issue with the taunting rule. Like, okay, go out there, try to kill each other, but, you know, don't express
be
any emotion
about it.
Yeah. Shake his hand and tell him good day. Like, what? No, I just did something on the guy that's been trying to kill me all day. Let me rub it in his face. So, but outside of that, yeah, I think Jordan Love's grossly overpaid. I've been saying that since his contract came in. I went to the first game of the season when the Eagles played the Packers. I went to an Eagles bar with my buddy who's a Packer fan. And the whole time we were just watching that game and we were like, that's not $55 million. That is 100%. Not that. That sticker price is not,
I honestly
that.
Thought he was the guy, and he's not, man.
I didn't think he was. I never thought he was the guy. My thing was, it wasn't even that I didn't think he was a guy. It was, we don't have enough tape. One start in your third year, like, that is, that's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so... It, like, people have gotten more time and we've said the same thing. So it's not like an attack on Jordan Love. Like, Tua, not worth the price. Sorry, Trevor Lawrence, not worth that price.
No,
like, I haven't seen enough. Justin Herbert, not worth that price. There's like five guys worth the price.
Justin Herbert, the Great White Buffalo.
There's like five guys who are worth the price.
Well, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
I said Justin Herbert, right?
Yeah, the Great White Buffalo. Okay. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Oh, the Great White Buffalo.
A couple weeks
ago,
we
did Buffalo.
Whole...
So I was like, did I say Josh Herbert or something?
No. It's from Hot Tub Time Machine, Great White Buffalo. Nah. But we talked about this a few weeks ago. The fact that this is happening, the Jordan Loves, the Justin Herberts getting blowed out in the playoffs, this is going to reset the market. There will be a quarterback middle class moving forward.
I was
going to
say, it's very funny. It's funny how this is happening twofolds now. Like, it's happened on the front end, now it's going to happen on the back end.
Yep,
where you know what I'm about to say?
Yeah.
Tell me what I'm about to say.
You're gonna say we used to not pay these guys very much because they didn't prove anything.
No, what I was gonna say. God,
I was
gonna
it, Joe,
say
I thought I knew you.
I was gonna say we instituted the draft slots because guys were getting paid too much on the front end.
I said that part. And I was like, no, he doesn't. He's not going to say that.
Because guys were getting paid too much on the front end. But now they're getting.
For the listeners, I do know
Joseph. Their re-up is way too big. And now the it's going to go the other way. And teams are going to be like, we're not paying you all this when you really haven't done much.
I really almost fucking said that.
I felt like you were right there. I felt like you were close. I was like, I think he has it. That's why I said it, because I was like, he definitely has it.
And then I was like, wait, not that he's not talking about the draft thing. He's talking about these quarterbacks getting paid like Buco Bucks. God damn it.
I was going to say that first round money was Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, rest in peace.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford. We both did the same thing. See, we are the same.
Sam Bradford got that last massive deal, and they were like, enough is enough. So I think it's going to happen again where they're going to say enough is enough. But to get back to the game, the Eagles did what needed to be done. This is very reminiscent of the last championship run where Jalen suffered an injury going into the postseason. They held him out for a couple games. The first game back, he looked – we were the number one seed, so we had a bye as well. But the first game back, it looked a little rusty. And then the next game, it just kind of improves on each other. And the same, not the same thing, but the thing with that year was also the defense could carry you for a couple games because that was the year they had 70 sacks. Like they were just getting after it. So,
yeah, they had like the most defense, pressures in the league by like a wide margin.
So the defense could get you that first game, and the defense got us that first game. So the offense has to reward the defense with, you know, some better play this next game. And I think it's going to be there. The running game got going a little late, as it usually does. It kind of snowballs in. But there was one thing I was very concerned about was the interior of the line. There were a couple times where Green Bay was able to get right up through the middle, and I was like, guys, this should not be happening.
Yeah, what's going on with Jurgens?
So hopefully, I don't know. It was just weird. So him, Dickers, and Bekai picked. I'm putting on all three of them. Like, clean that up. I think there are a couple protection misses. But that also could be from, you know, Jalen coming back.
Yeah.
Probably miscalled the protection. So, you know, a game back, a game under the belt, cleaning up all those little things. Goddard, what an amazing run. What an amazing three stiff arms in a row.
I was watching this game with Tracy, my lovely girlfriend, and two things she mentioned because she powerlifts like I do. So Josh Jacobs, because she had him on her fantasy team, and she never really, like, she'd watch with
seen him.
But we're watching this game, and she goes, oh, my God, his quads are gigantic. I wish I had quads like that. And I was like, yeah, that's a dude amongst boys. And the Goddard thing, because you know me, I'm making jokes because it's the white tight end knocking over the black corner.
Do we know if he's white, though? Like, Goddard exists in this ambiguous space for me. I'm always like, does he? Is he a little bit? Like, I got to look into this.
But it was so funny because I was like, that's what you want to see. And without any context, she just goes, because it's me, so she knows I always make jokes, she just goes, stop it. And I was like, no, it's the tight end. And then when Jenkins was on the sideline, the safety for the Green Bay Packers, talking to McKenzie, bro.
Was like, what did you want me to do? What did you want me to do?
Dude, that was the best because I was just thinking Goddard. Because Goddard was left for dead, man. And because he kept getting hurt and he's older. And I just as far as like a fantasy perspective, he was just – or no, I'm thinking Ertz.
He's 30.
Ertz was the tight end.
But yeah, Ertz was the one that was – kind of put out the pasture, but he's had a resurgence. But even
Goddard was like, because he had a bunch of injuries this year, it was one of those things where
he was constantly in and out.
Do this? And then he was just like, I'm scoring this touchdown, no one will stop me.
I was about to say, the Eagles, in a way, have there has been a couple games where we've put it all together, but this has been a season of like patchwork and more or less like getting to the postseason, because like you had Devontae miss a couple games, you had Dallas miss a couple games,
AJ Brown missed a couple games.
Yeah, so it's like it's really been like, and then at the end there you had Jalen miss a couple games. I would say Saquon's been the one constant. So it's been more or less like, let's get through the war of attrition and get to the end with everybody kind of at full strength. And I think we're going to see a better game next week out of this offense. Kellen Moore, I mean, this is his first postseason game since being with the Cowboys. So I think he the lights might have gotten a little bit too bright for him. So I definitely think that the offense is going to improve next week. Defensively, stalwart.
So good.
There was only a couple lapses. When N'Kobe Dean went out, unfortunately, he's out for the rest of the postseason. When he went out, there was a little, you know, finding Burke's way into the game. But after that, they pretty much held them in check until the final drive. Well, the one drive Green Bay had where Jacobs mows through everybody. But I think I think we're going to be good. And, you know, we'll preview the next game when we get to the next game. When we get to the next part. All right, let's go a little quicker. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, what you got?
Two things. Baltimore, his running game looks awesome. Derrick Henry did not lose his step. And the defense against the pass has actually improved greatly since they were ranked 32nd by like week 12. Since week 12 on, they've actually looked a lot better. And they have one of the best run defenses and they have all season. The thing I want to say about Pittsburgh is they are stuck in this weird cycle where they will never have a high enough draft pick as long as Mike Tomlin's the coach to get a quarterback.
Baby.
Yep. And the defense fell apart. That was obvious, but Pittsburgh will be right back here next year like they always are because Mike Tomlin's a warlock. You're not going to fire a coach who gets you to the playoffs every year, but they're not. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe go out and get Sam Darnold. Maybe I heard this was interesting trade for J.J. McCarthy, but then with what happened with Sam Darnold the last 2 weeks, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. I don't think they're going to give him up. If Sam Darnold were to have won this game and they gave him that contract, then maybe we can start talking about that.
I don't think that ever would have happened, but, you know.
What do you think about Milton with New England? I know this is hypocritical because we just said a one game sample size isn't big enough, but that New England fourth round.
I don't think they're trading for any. If anything, just gonna ride with what they got. You got Fields in the back end. Like, I know. Hopefully, you have been actually teaching him things.
I screamed from the mountaintops that Chicago shouldn't have traded Fields and they should have kept him and used that number one pick to trade down, get a couple of pieces, but they decided to go with the quarterback. So. I still believe in Fields. Russell, I think, is shot, but
I was like, you want to know the thing that's really the problem in Pittsburgh?
What?
Now, quarterback is a big issue.
Yeah.
But Tomlin, phenomenal coach. Great coach. Great coach of the defense. Sucks at offensive coordinators.
Yeah. Yeah.
When's the last good offensive coordinator he's had?
One of my
He never gets the guy who's like, oh my gosh, this guy is going to get hired somewhere. None of his OCs have been hired anywhere else.
We have.
They always leave in disgrace.
There's a football podcast I listen to, the Fantasy Football Show on The Ringer, and one of their awards every
David
year was...
David Heifetz?
Yeah, David Heifetz. Danny Heifetz, Danny Kelly, and Craig Horlbeck. Yeah. And one of the awards they give out every week is the Arthur Smith, which coach pissed you off the most award.
Like... Arthur Smith.
And that was the offensive coordinator. Yeah. So, I mean, Pittsburgh sucks. Baltimore looks great. I'm so excited for Baltimore Buffalo next week.
Yes, we'll get to that. Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, there's not much to say. Baltimore, I think I put it in the Discord. I put it on Blue Sky. I put it anywhere I could, you know, project my voice. This game will be over at the half.
Yep.
There's no two ways about it.
Tucker missing that kick saved a lot of people's teasers, though.
Oh, really? I didn't even know he missed a kick because I stopped watching.
Yeah, he missed the kick in the fourth quarter.
At the half, I was like, 21-point rule, baby. Pass the six. Like, this is yep. Done. All right?
You got housed.
Lamar, Pittsburgh was, I think they said it on the broadcast, Pittsburgh was like, we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. So on those first couple drives, every time they ran the zone read, TJ Watt just went after Derrick Henry. And Lamar was like, well, thank you then. And just scurried the other way. I was like, holy smokes. So, yeah, no, it was a pretty, pretty decisive. All right. The game that just ended, Brennan. Minnesota goes to Arizona. Because of all the tragedy that's befallen in Los Angeles and the greater Los Angeles area, our hearts and thoughts are with all the people out there. There's many of links to donate to different people in different organizations and whatnot. They're doing good work on the ground there. But the game was moved to Arizona. And the Rams looked like they were on a mission.
Yep. Yep. I said it last week.
Sam Darnold looked like he was on a mission.
Yep.
To not be picked.
Mission impossible. I said it last week. If I told, because the Vikings had such a better record, and I said, it sounds weird to say, I'll give you Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold or Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, who you taking? And I was like, I can't go against Sean. I went against him, and I was like, no, the Vikings will bounce back. And I've been a Sam Darnold apologist this entire season, but he looked – he didn't look comfortable.
No.
And the six sacks in the first half probably had a lot to do with it, but three of those were his fault. He wouldn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
When you have Troy Aikman, who's very like even keel, being like, I don't know what he's doing. You he's got to get rid of this ball.
Yeah, no.
What was the final? The first 24-9?
27-9. Yeah, 27-9. From the first drive of the Rams were like, okay, so we know you're going to blitz, so we're just going to fire this. And you know who we have at quarterback? The guy who, I don't know if he makes the most off-platform throws, but damn it, he's willing to make the most off-platform throws.
He has much faith in himself.
So he has so much faith in his arm at 36 years of age. Like, you hear all the time, like, oh, that person wasn't able to step into their throw because of the pressure. He was intending not to step into throws because he knew pressure was going to come once he snapped it. So he was dropping back on step three and throwing it off his back foot.
Tippy toes.
I'm like, dog.
There was one I was watching in the highlights one time he got sacked and he was just laughing because he completed the throw, or he didn't get sacked. He got hit as he threw it. And he was on the ground laughing because he knew that he completed the pass.
Already got it off. Like, it was insane. This really highlighted, this game exposed the Vikings defense.
Yeah.
Also the same thing last week as well. The scheme, even though we love Brian Flores, the scheme can only mask the not exceptional talent when you're playing not exceptional teams.
Yep.
If you're playing really good teams, you just have to have good players.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that scheme is only going to do so much.
If you're going to go man on man, you got to have the better guys, and they just don't have the better guys, which is why the Brian Flores scheme works against these younger quarterbacks or quarter. And it was said a lot. It was, if Brian Flores doesn't respect you, he's going to blitz the hell out of you. And it worked because of the teams that they played, and you can only play the teams that are in front of you. I understand that. But like, when you, and this is the other thing too, and I think this is something that's overlooked because a lot of teams have injuries, but the Rams never played at full strength this whole year until the last 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
and they had two of the best possession receivers in the NFL between Kupp and Nacua. So it's like, if they're at full strength, and that verse pick,
well, it was Higbee. Huge. Higbee was the guy who's been missing most of the season.
Yeah,
like, but there's been games with both Nacua and Kupp, but Higbee didn't come back until like 3 weeks ago. And then he got hurt in this game before.
Yeah, he did. But it was just an interesting thing, because I remember the first game back where it was Kupp, Nacua, and it was Stafford. Didn't they put up, I forget who they played, but they played a really good team. They put up like, was it the Lions game? It was one of these games where they put up like 30 or 40 points. And everyone's like, oh, when this team's at full strength.
Vikings.
That's what it was.
The Vikings. Week 8.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, when this team, and then someone got hurt, and then they had to, it was all over again. Remember, this team had more offensive line combinations in the first 5 weeks than like in NFL history, or some weird like advanced metric stat. It's like,
crazy.
It's this team, and we talked about it last week. If you're telling me Stafford, who's had two back surgeries and is still out there, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't know who Patrick Mahomes is. This is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, Stafford looked good. Sam Darnold was, as Bomani Jones says, same Darnold. He was the same guy we've seen all this time. Like, the outlier was him being good for so long.
Yeah, it was weird.
Not him by week
being
eight,
bad. I was by week eight, I was like, maybe this is a real thing. Like, so, I still will never get over the Nate Burleson getting teared up talking about it on Good Morning Football, where he was like, "I'm proud of you, Sam. You're doing a good thing." And I was like, yeah,
I put my foot in it again. Apparently, jokes aren't read as jokes on Blue Sky. Like,
yeah, it's the most liberal social media. Which
I know, right? It's crazy, bro. Charles McDonald, shout out to Charles McDonald, Forwards on Twitter and Instagram. But the problem is, I also didn't read his thing as a joke. He was like, man, he was like, Sam, buddy, I feel bad. And I jokingly was like, don't tell me. I was like, no, Charles, don't tell me you're a sympathizer. I was like, he is who we always thought he was. And then he quote tweeted and it was like, I was just making a joke, man. I was like, oh, my, I was also making a joke. I was like, we both just joking, dog.
That happens to me sometimes on YouTube. Someone will leave a comment and I'll like respond with like this paragraph long, like, well, actually, and they go, dude, I love the podcast. I was just messing with you. And I was like, oh, damn it.
I was making a joke. I'm like, oh, my bad. But no, the crazy thing is Cup only had like one catch in this game.
I know. But like, Cup just didn't the fact even go that crazy. He's out there.
Higbee was going crazy early until he got hurt. They were able to get Kyren Williams a little loose. But I think they were really
too
playing.
Loose. He got hurt too.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he got.
I know he got hit that one time, and
it was
he came
weird.
Out.
He
but I thought that was
for
a fumble.
A while. No, they ruled it not a fumble because his
yeah, I'm
his
saying
arm
that,
was not.
But I thought that's why he was on standing on the sideline.
No, he came on the sideline because when I think it was Van Ginkel tackled him, he like wrapped up his ankle and then almost looked like he did an alligator roll on purpose.
Mm, okay. But yeah, so I just think the Rams came out with the fury of a thousand suns.
Yeah, they had some gusto behind them.
Yeah, they had the entire city on their shoulders, and that defense played lights out, as well as Sam kind of just giving them the game to a degree. So yeah, you know, good on them.
Yeah.
I was a coward.
You were. So was I.
I was a coward. I should have just said it with my full chest. I should have been full throated about it. Because the Chargers.
Chargered.
They chargered.
Yes, they did.
This 32 game was
on Saturday,
to 12.
It was a month ago.
I know, right? It feels like 8,000 days ago. This game was, 32 to 12. Justin Herbert, 4 interceptions.
Did the Dell home.
Jake DeLome.
4 picks in a playoff game. Full DeLome is one to pick six.
Yeah. One was a pick six. He went full DeLome.
He went
DeLome. Derek Stingley took one back. They had 50 yards total rushing.
Remember that playoff game? The Panthers? That was like, God, that must have been like 2007.
I think that was the end of Jake DeLome, too.
It was, because the year before he played pretty well. And then that year he played well, got him to the playoffs, and then 4 picks, 1 pick 6. They lost that game. Chargers aren't ready yet. Justin Herbert, everyone shut up about the advanced analytics. That man has not won a fourth quarter comeback. Not even comeback. That guy hasn't won a fourth quarter drive. Well, it's not even that. It's he
I mean, you're getting a little micro about it, but
You know what
like,
I'm saying? Like,
don't
whenever
tell
he has the ball
me
in the
he's
fourth
the second
quarter,
coming.
I don't trust it. Yeah.
Don't tell me he's the second coming if you can't win a playoff game. And for people who that are not gonna say a win's not a quarterback stat and all that good jazz, all right, I give you that. But also, when he should have beat the Jags, he did nothing.
I was just
nothing.
About to bring it up. 27-3.
He did nothing. Okay.
It was 27-3. We had 4 turnovers in the first half and we came back and won that game.
Like, to start this game, Houston looked inept. And then Herbert just started throwing them the ball.
Yeah. The pass rush does look like it came back towards the end. And we're going to talk about what that's going to mean next week. But Houston looked good, which was weird because I was like, I even said it last week. I was like, they're on a downslide. They've lost 3 of the last 4. Like, they don't look like the same Houston team that we all thought they were.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Houston looked good or the Chargers just looked bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think the Chargers got a lot of this offense. This defense has been fully reformed and da 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 da. Yeah. And it's like, all right. A lot of these guys are kind of old, though, man. Like, Bosa's old now. Khalil Mack is old now. Like,
Derwin James is old.
Like, these guys were the guys. But it's I don't know how long they can continue being these guys at this point.
Let's not forget that Khalil Mack was, like, the part of, like, a blockbuster free agent thing when he went from Oakland to – or trade when he went from Oakland to the Bears.
To the Bears.
That was, like, 10 years ago.
Khalil Mack was, like, one of the focuses of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
When John Gruden got the job.
Yeah.
That man has been disgraced and now works for Barstool since then.
Does he really? Oh, yeah, he does.
Denzel Perryman – was playing for the University of Miami when I was in high school.
Wow.
I'm stunned. Like, I didn't think, I really liked him back when he was playing for Miami. I thought he was actually the best. Like, they had brought in a trio of linebackers, and I thought he was the best. I did not expect him to have this long of an NFL career.
Yeah.
That's, I was like saying, unfortunately, he ended up getting hurt pretty early.
I did want to say, for the amount of draft capital and just hype that we've given the Chargers tackles, which fully deserved, I like their offensive line every year because of this kind of stuff. By the second half, Houston had their number, dude. Like,
yeah.
Joe Alt and then Stafford, the left tackle, and you were just kind of like, what is going on, man?
I would say this game, like I don't know you understand how bad the Chargers have to be. Let me give you how this game started again. Field goal, Chargers. Good job. You completed a drive.
Slater, Rashad Slater. I don't know why I said Saffold.
Yeah, I was so confused. I was like, I don't know who that is. Houston's first possession. Completed catch to John Meacham the third. Fumble.
He's a guard for the Titans.
Oh.
I just looked it up. I was like, why was that name sticking in my head?
Fumble in on their side of the field. Chargers only get a field goal after that. Then you got a couple punts. Then Houston throws an interception. At that point, me and my group chat are like, man, CJ Stroud, how the mighty have fallen. It's over. Oh, hold my beer. Justin Herbert throws an interception right back. It's like, whoa, what just happened there? Like, they had so many opportunities early to put this game away. And everybody thought this game was going to get put away pretty quickly, especially after that first fumble. You think, oh, it's going to go 10 up. Houston's been playing poorly. Then Houston throws an interception. It's 6 at this point. Houston throws an interception. It's like, boom, this game is in the bag. Then Herbert throws an interception. It's like, what? And then somehow at the end of the first quarter, at the end of the first half, Houston's up 10-6. And it's like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. You know how Houston starts the second half? Fumble.
Yeah.
This game was just for the taking for the Chargers, and they refused to take it.
Chargered. And we said going into this week, maybe Jim Harbaugh was the difference. Maybe he's going to stop the Chargers from charging, and he didn't. He couldn't.
I just had no faith in them, and I still picked them over. That's how crazy this is. I had no faith in them, still picked them over Houston, because Houston had been playing so bad going into this. They put up 2 points in front of Beyonce on Christmas Day. That's how bad they had been playing.
Yeah, it was rough.
It's insane. Put the town on alert, and the alert came right back. Buffalo Bills beat the Denver Broncos in a game that I will contest, Broncos probably should have won.
Yeah. Did you see that first drive? Denver goes up 7-0, and I'm like, uh-oh.
I go one further. Like, we saw them, I think it was 10-7.
Yeah, going into the half, wasn't it?
Going into the half. Denver misses the field goal. Insane. Denver misses the field goal, but then the way they got into the field goal range, because they got that ball, I think right around the 2-minute warning, and it was a lot of scrambling by Bo Nix, a lot of rolling out, a lot of boots. They never ran a boot again to start the second half. They had so much success with it. And then Mina Kimes had tweeted at the end of the first half, after we saw Denver doing that to get into field goal range, Mina Kimes tweeted that Buffalo was 32nd in the league when defending rollouts or bootlegs. And Denver just never did it again. They didn't press the pain. They didn't put pressure on the pain point. Like, they just played into their hands. They just kept handing the ball on first and second down. Like, I was like, hey, you know, if you don't hand the ball on first and second down, you probably can do better. And then I think it was that same 2-minute drive, 4 passes, 4 completions, 4 first downs. And it's like, yeah, it can be that. Like, this is not a good defense from Buffalo. Yeah. Like, it can be this easy if you make it this easy. And the game plan, and now we find out Bo Nix had multiple back fractures. Like, I don't know if that was one of the reasons they played this game this way, but he gets in the it's mic. The postseason. He's like,
Sean, stop calling boots.
I must say, it's the postseason, though, so if you're going to be in there, you got to show up to play. Like,
yeah.
I mean, so, but they just didn't do the things that were working, and then Buffalo was like, well, okay, then. Here's a rush. Here's another rush. We're going to run it down your throat. And, oh, you know what? Here's a throw. And yeah, it was pretty much over after that.
Yeah, as someone who has Josh Allen on his fantasy team every year for the last 3 years, I can tell you Buffalo is definitely a second half team. So when they went into halftime and it was 10-7, I was like, this could get out of hand quickly.
Yeah.
And then it did. They had more rushes. I think it was they had more rushing yards than any other team in a first half of a playoff game in like 10 years, which is crazy because it's the same. Yeah, it's the same league that Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson play on the same team in. But yeah, Denver just looked, like you said, they just looked like they were getting outmatched in the second half. But the good news for Denver, Sean Payton's only been there, what, a few years?
They weren't even outmatched. They just got outcoached. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm sorry. If every first and second down is going to be a run and you're just never going to change that, then I know that and I'm just going to keep attacking you. I'm just going to keep
putting... That's why everyone's calling for the OC in Texas, or for Houston's head.
Yeah, me too. And then the problem with that is you're putting your young quarterback in an unwinnable position on third down where now I have to pass. They know I have to pass and they're just coming. And Von Miller's just going to be here.
Yeah.
And Gregory Rousseau is just going to be here.
And that's what they said. They said they kept Von Miller out of a lot of games this year because they wanted him fresh for the playoffs. And so he's ready.
So it was like, bro, like that could not have been the best game plan you came up with. So like they started the game so hot and like they knew what they were doing.
It looked so good in that first drive. I literally looked over at Tracy and I was like, this wasn't supposed to go like this. They just,
I was screaming to the high heavens to everybody. I ran around the house. I was like, red alert. This was the red alert. And my babe and Ariel was like, the Eagles aren't playing. I was like, I know, but this was my red alert game. And then they proceeded to embarrass me. But good job out of James Cook, Josh Allen, you know, Sean McDermott.
Look great.
Joe Brady. Used to be Ken Dorsey. But yeah, so on to the divisional round. All right, we talked a lot, obviously. I have to assume we're at an hour already.
We are.
So we're just gonna pick. All right. Kansas City versus Houston, who you got?
Kansas City.
Buffalo, Baltimore.
Wait, who do you got?
I'm gonna say next. Go and wait for it. Baltimore, Buffalo. Who you got?
Buffalo.
Detroit, Washington. Who you got?
Detroit.
Philly, Rams. Who you got?
Philly.
I got KC. I got Baltimore. I got Detroit. I got Philly.
So the Buffalo, Baltimore game will decide.
The Buffalo, Baltimore game is the place we differ along racial lines.
100%.
Ah, the college football playoffs are too damn long.
Yeah. We're still talking about this?
We're about to. It doesn't end until next Monday.
Ohio State big.
I think Notre Dame's going to win.
You're out of your mind.
I think Notre Dame's going to win.
You're a Marcus Freeman apologist.
Hey, he's got me this far so far. No, I just think their defense is really good. I think this is going to be the best defense Ohio State faces this year.
What?
What?
They went against Oregon. That was a joke for everybody listening.
Obviously. I think this is going to be the best defense they face all season. Texas was giving them fits. Texas just couldn't finish it. Yeah.
No, that's true.
So...
I think Ohio State has the better athletes.
Now, the problem is I have to then rely on Riley Leonard to, be a good quarterback. And as I've been saying to people, he's not a good quarterback, but he's a hell of a football player.
He can run. Yeah.
Real good football player. He is not a quarterback.
Nope.
He's going to put his body on the line. Look, if it's third and short, he's going to get you that fucking first down.
I know. I just think Ohio State has the better, and it goes back to what we said at the very beginning, when it's this kind of game and this kind of setting, who you got? Who do you have?
But I think that changes for college to a degree. I think coaching rules the day. And look, I know I'm going to be wrong. I think Ohio State's going to win this. Also, I can't pick Ohio State just because of
2002.
Yeah, I'm just never going to forgive them. Like, the other day, I was at the gym.
You were like six.
And I wasn't six. I was like eight. The other day, I was at the gym, and the You Part 2 documentary was on. And my brother called me. And I was on the massage. I was in the massage chair at this point, and I was watching it. And he called me. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Watching my heart get broken again."
Getting mad all over.
And he was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "It's not a fucking pass." I was like, "Why the fuck?" And he was like, "Are you really getting upset about this?" I was like, "Yeah, it's pissing me off all over again."
Oh man,
it's getting so heated.
Was that was the last national championship, wasn't it?
It was the last national championship we appeared in. Ohio State has won since, but we have not appeared in another. But what I was gonna say was if you're telling me to, you know, run through a brick wall, who do I want to motivate me to do so? Ryan Day or Marcus Freeman? I'm going out with Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, and I agree with that because Ryan Day has been kind of on what's the term? On watch or whatever, because like whenever people say he doesn't have a physical team, and then they play like some podunk team and win by like 80 points by running the ball, he's like, who's not physical now? And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the point, Ryan. Also, if he loses this game that they're favored by almost 10 points in and lost to Michigan, I don't care that he made it to a national championship. Columbus is going to call for his job.
I don't think they have the stomach for it. Because he made it to a national championship. I don't think they have the stomach.
I know, but my whole family's Ohio State fans, and they hate him because they're like,
so Ohio State fans are like Eagles fans, even though Sirianni's winning. Yep. It's like, but what does he do? It's Howie Roseman's team.
They think the team's winning in spite of him, not because of him.
Oh man, but I do want to say one thing because I hadn't touched on this, and it just clicked in my head the other day, and I said something about it on the Discord. My biggest fear with the expansion of the college football playoffs was the extra games that we were going to put on teams. When it went to four teams, I think it became 14 to 15 games max that you would play. And I was like, yo, you're going to put like 16, 17 potential games on these college bodies. And everybody tried to talk me off the ledge by saying, no, but none of the first week teams are going to make it to the actual championship game. Like, the teams that get the bye will get there, and maybe like one or two more games will be added. It's going to be more like 15, 16, not 16, 17. Well, in year one, none of the teams that had byes made it. And all the teams that played in week one made it. And we have college kids playing their 15th. They played their 15th and going to be playing their 16th game. Only the reason they're not playing 17 games is because Notre Dame doesn't have a conference to play a conference championship in, and Ohio State didn't make their conference championship. Yep. So that's the only reason they're not playing 17 games.
Get them ready for the
games.
NFL. That's fine.
So, and not paying them is nearly as much. No revenue split. NIL is cute and all, but they're not getting any of the big money.
Can we just, I mean, we're way over an hour, so I don't want to harp on this, but can we just shut up with these people being like, well, they're getting paid now? No, like,
they're not getting paid what they deserve.
Seven or eight of their, well, not only that, but it's like seven or eight of like the top players are getting paid.
Yeah,
it's not like the whole offensive line is making 500 grand a year.
Yeah.
So let's chill out on this. Well, at least they're getting paid now. And the universities are still making billions of dollars.
I was saying, and that's the thing. Like, they're making money hand over fist. Like, there's a reason they won't take the Cotton Bowl. They won't change the structure by making them bowl games because the sponsors come with the bowl games and therefore they get windfalls of cash.
And it's
like
not
ESPN is paying so much money. Like the schools just by appearing in the national championship in the playoffs are getting for every round get like $5 to $10 million for the conference.
Yeah, and it's super shady too because it's like I work at a restaurant and we get paid minimum wage. We get paid by our tips. So like a lot of times, like if I don't have a guest from 3 o'clock till 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever, I'm just doing like manual labor, like cleaning and stuff for minimum wage. And they go, oh, well, you make X amount of dollars. And I'm like, no, the guests pay me that money. No. It's the same kind of thing.
That's basically like, what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. The corporation doesn't want to pay. They're like, oh, well, you're making $1 million a year. It's like, yeah, from a fucking used car lot owner, not from you.
Like, you're making tens of millions of dollars. Yeah. These coaches are making exorbitant amount of money.
It's stupid. The fact that the colleges are like, oh, no, you'll get paid, just not by us because we want to keep all our money. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it so much. Anyway,
I still think. I mean, slippery slope as it may be. One, I think we should just make college football the minor league and just break it out. But
what about the UFL? I'm kidding.
They've only been good for one kicker on the Detroit Lions.
I honestly saw the commercial for the UFL and I was like, oh, I thought they went bankrupt again.
Yeah, I know, right? But no, it kills me. Like people talk about the resources in our communities and the different states and whatnot. I talked about this our very first episode. Most states, the highest paid government employee is a college football coach or a college basketball coach.
Yep.
That's where our tax dollars are going.
Yeah, especially for these public universities.
Yeah, I'm only talking about public universities.
Yeah.
Because they're public universities, so they're paid for, they're supplemented by public funding from our tax dollars, and the highest paid employee in states are college football coaches and in some instances, college basketball coaches. But we don't have enough money for the teachers. And we talk, and you have politicians talking about how the school system is failing. Yeah. Look at who we're paying.
Yeah. It's, I can't even
look at what we're prioritizing. It's insane.
Yeah. Stupid.
It's laughable. Real quick around the NBA. The NBA never stops. Last week we had a big matchup, a team that had won, I believe at that point, 10 games in a row at least, and a team that had won 15 games in a row. The Cavs and the Thunder faced off two Titans of the East and the West. The Cavs ended up winning that game. Very good game. Highly contested back and forth.
It was in Cleveland, too.
Nuggets. This is a game already. The Nuggets on a three-game win streak have solidified their place after beating Dallas. But Dallas was without Luka and Kyrie, so a little of a hollow victory, honestly. But Aaron Gordon did come back from injury, so that was really good to see him get back in the mix there. The Magic, did they beat the Knicks last week? That was really good. Lost to the T-Wolves, lost to the Bucks. Close game. Paolo Banchero has come back from his injury, though. That is a good sign of things to
come. Still sitting at four, even after all those injuries and all that time he was out.
And the Pistons, who the young upstart Pistons, they're finally putting it together, Brennan. They took down the New York Knickerbockers today. So the top of the East, Knicks on a bit of a slide. Top of the East, you still got the Cavs, you got the Celtics, you got the Knicks, you got the Mavs, you got the Pacers. Wow, the Pacers. Sorry, I didn't just now notice.
You meant Magic, everybody.
I meant the Magic, damn it. The Pacers are on a 6-game winning streak. They find themselves getting out of the doldrums of the play-in and now are the fifth seed. Look at that. And Milwaukee rounding out the top, and there the Miami
Remember when
Heat
Milwaukee
who are
was terrible
in,
at the beginning of the year.
I know, right? The Heat who are in complete and total disarray, but they're on a 3-game win streak right now. What are they going to do with Jimmy Butler? We'll find
Suspended
out around February.
Can you believe that?
The Pistons come in at number 8. The Hawks who have fallen back to earth. Some injuries there. They're at 9, and the Chicago Bulls at 10 again, and still. And it's pretty much going to be like this for the rest of the season. I can't see them making a huge historic turnaround like the Nats when they won the national champion, when they won the World Series. The Sixers are outside of the playoffs right now.
Good.
Insane.
Good.
In the Western Conference, you got the Thunder at 1. You got the Houston Rockets at 2. You got the Memphis Grizzlies at Rockets, 3. You got the Denver Nuggets at 4. You got the Mavs at 5. You got the Lakers, who are on a 2-game slide. But they did make a trade, getting D'Angelo Russell out of there. They come in at number 6. The Los Angeles Clippers, who suffered a loss to the Nuggets while they're on their 3-game winning streak last week. They're at number 7. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who have kind of righted the ship to some degree. I don't, you can't really say that because the West is all really, really tight in there. So just a couple of wins will get you out of mediocrity there. But they're sitting at number 8 now as well, just like the Kings. The Kings, who were having a bad slide after having a great year 2 years ago, a bubble team last year. They were completely out of it. They fired their coach. Now they're on a 7-game win streak after firing their coach to slide into the number 9 slot. And at number 10 is the Phoenix Sun on a 3-game winning streak, just edging out the Golden State Warriors, who are on a 2-game slide. So right now, Golden State is not in the playoffs. Phoenix has found their way back in the playoffs, but it's only by a half game. So much is happening in the West. It's all congested. It's going to be up and down all season. This is going to be really fun. Down the
Rockets.
The Rockets, man. Ime.
You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick! Ime hits quick hit.
NHL, it never stops, Brennan. The Panthers suffered a loss tonight to the Flyers, Kyle. I tip my hat to you. And that was after an overtime last loss. Week? No. Didn't we beat the Penguins, lost to the Avs. Lost to Greg. Had a tip I had to Greg.
The Philly, we had to say sorry to Kyle because we had lost 2 in a row last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But then after that loss to the Avalanche, we went and beat the Utah Hockey Club. And then we lost an overtime game to the Bruins. And then we lost today to the Flyers. We were up 2-0. Then we let them creep back in, and then they took over that game. Unfortunate there. So right now, still second in the Cat Atlantic, though. Toronto Maple Leafs, who are also on a 2-game slide, sitting above us right now. The Caps, who are on a heater right now, on an all-time heater. They have Ovi back. Ovi's chasing out Gretzky for the goals record. And they're winning while doing it, which is always great. You don't want to chase a record and, you know, the rest of the team suffers because of it. Or doing it on a bad team where it kind of means nothing. Every goal he scores means something. The New Jersey Devils, sitting behind them, then Carolina Hurricane, wild card. You got the Boston Bruins and you got the Blue Jackets. In the West, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Dallas round out the Central. In the Pacific, you got the Knights, Edmonton, and the Kings. In the wild card, you got the Avs and the Flames. So it's time for.
Oh, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, the Fulham Corner. Joe, take it away.
Alrighty. So, since we talked at you last, Fulham has played, I want to say, only one game, and that was in the FA Cup. We beat Watford, played Watford, beat them 4-0. Got a goal from Rodrigo Muniz. Raul Jimenez got another penalty kick. Joachim Andersen, who's one of our center backs, got a header in there. And Timothy Castagne as well. Really good game by the Blads. Will not lie, I completely missed this. The time was so off. It was on a Thursday. I was completely out of it. By the time I remembered, I was like, oh, it's over. And we were playing a lower division team, so... did what we should do, which is good. In good form. Got a lot of other guys out there to play in that game. Harrison Reed, was able to get in. Cess, who's come back to us, got the start, played really well. Two of our young guys who we've found times to play them this season, in Josh King and Martial Gotto. It's still not the same as I need to learn his name. They've featured in, they've played well. Good to see some academy guys doing well, because you don't want to see them leave like we've seen in the past with some of our other guys who didn't get opportunities they felt like. So got our next Premier League game tomorrow. Today, when you're hearing this, against West Ham, 2:30 start. So, yeah, that is where we are right now with Fulham. All right. Let's close out the show.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Brennan, where can we find you?
I am at Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I'll be on tour this summer, so check me out in Boston and Connecticut, and I'll be in LA in March. Check out the website for all those dates and listen to my other podcast. It's called X Drinking Buddy. I have guests on to talk about their best and worst drinking drug party and getting in trouble stories. Joe!
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can follow the show's Twitter and Instagram at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check us out on Blue Sky under the same name as well, at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That's A New Low. That's Who Does a Podcast. We're doing Mufasa. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later this week. Because my brother apparently got sick out of the blue. Let us know this morning. So maybe that's going to get recorded next week. Maybe on Thursday. We'll see. Don't forget to check me out on all the places at Joe Dorville. I'll try to make my jokes seem more jokey. I'll remember to put LOLs at the end of them on Blue Sky for us very soft liberals. And then check me out on DSPs at Headphone Joe Noono in the phone, headphonejoe.com. Sorry, headphonejoe.etsy.com to check out the merch. Brennan, get me out of here because I need to hit the gym.
You're going now?
Yeah, I'm going. I like a little late gym.
All right, that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello, huge shout out, LAFD, and everyone out in Los Angeles. Stay safe.